Academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah,
Okay, so I want to tell a little story and then get into the main topic. The way I tell stories tend to take a lot of time, so this actually, who knows how long this is going to be. I am warning you now, there is some off-putting elements. I have, over the last few weeks, when I'm trying to do podcasts, been complaining about the fact that I cannot read. My right eye has gone fuzzy. So about 3 weeks ago, I was getting headaches sort of in the back of my head and behind my eyes. I looked it up online. Not a good place to seek out your medical information. And it said these were cluster headaches, and this was kind of migraine. But I'd actually had a similar pain before, and it's when I got punched in the face on the other side, and I felt a similar kind of pain, and it's because my eye was actually swollen. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the eye doctor just to check, because just regular aspirin isn't taking care of this. I go to the eye doctor, and he starts giving me stuff, and it's all working out fine. And I say, so what's wrong with my eye? And he goes, well, this is the same as what you had last time. And I'm like, well, last time I got belted in the head by a giant angry man. This time I didn't do anything. Like nothing happened to my face or head. No impact of any sort. So what causes it? He's like, oh, well, this is just swelling. And swelling can be caused because of anything. And he kind of did like a little shrug gesture like, you know, life happens sometimes and sometimes that swells up. So I said, give me some details. And he's like, well, it could be an injury, an infection, stress, any number of things could cause this. So if you go online, he literally looks at me and says, if you go online, you'll see a long list. And I was like, okay. So basically saying, you don't know. This is the doctor's way of saying, I don't know what caused this, but at least we can start treating it. He gives me some medicine and the pain in my eye starts to go away and I start to feel pain in my cheek. And now that is where one of your sinuses is. And he said infection. I thought, oh, maybe because of my allergies and stuff, every now and then I get a sinus infection. That's happened a couple times in my life. So I go to the nose doctor. He's your tube doctor. He goes, your nose, mouth, and ear, something like that. So I go to him and I go, I think I have a sinus infection. He doesn't even really check much. He just goes, okay, gives me a huge thing of pills. There's one morning I have to take the pills for my eye and the pills for my nose. So there's one day, I remember it was a Wednesday for some reason, I had to take the variety of pills for my eye and the variety of pills for my nose. And in total for breakfast, I had like 15 pills with me, which made me feel incredibly old. Okay, whatever. Sinus infection goes away because that starts to feel better. And then I realized, like, you know, I'm not seeing as well. I have always worn glasses, so my eyesight's always been poor, but I think something's wrong. I go back and he's like, oh, the back of your eye is still swollen. So he's giving me these steroid eye drops. He's like, well, the steroid eye drops aren't going to get back there. So what we're going to do is give you an injection. And I was like, huh, an injection for my eye? Well, I guess, you know, powerful medicine is often injected into your body. So that's not a thing. And then I'm like, wait, he means an injection in my eye. So this is like horror movie stuff. And I am just taking my deep breaths and going, okay, yep, let's do that. Okay. And he's like, right now. So I don't know if this was a technique or just this is how fast he moves. Because this is a clinic. They just do eyeballs. It's all service. Like you want to get glasses, contacts, eye infection, anything that's happened, pink eye, whatever. They take care of it there. So they have everything, all the facilities in one clinic. And so they have me sit outside for a minute. And then like 2 minutes later, they have me go in and they have the chair that you lie down on your back. And that 2 minutes was enough to get me like worked up. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to get stabbed in the eye. I did this in Dead Space, I believe was the video game where you had to aim it at your own eye and then push the button. Didn't hurt then. Not going to hurt now. But I mean, this is like horror movie stuff. They lie me down. I'm going to go through the whole process for you. So they lie me down and then Igor comes in. Now Igor is not the guy putting it in my eye, I hope, because the first thing Igor does is he walks in the room. So I'm lying down flat on my back, already kind of like a vulnerable position. He bumps into a couple things and my first thought is, oh, fuck no. This guy is not going to put a needle in my eye. He can't even walk straight. Then he's the guy who's going to put a couple of drops in, probably to dilate my pupil, and then a couple other drops in, which is going to be anesthetic. So he puts a couple drops in, boop, boop. He misses. It goes on my cheek. And I'm like, oh, fuck, he's not putting a needle in my eye. If this guy's going to put the needle in my eye, I'm just going to leave. I can't. I have no confidence. He takes like three shots to get the first set of drops in my eye. And I'm like, isn't this all you do? Like, as the nurse in an eye clinic, isn't this literally one of the only things you do is put drops into people's eyes and you've missed? And then he gets the other one. He goes, this is an anesthetic in Japanese. And then he puts those drops in, also misses a couple. And I'm like, he's being generous. He's kind of like napalming my eye area, knowing that some of it will get in. So he just floods that. And I'm just like, oh no. If someone else doesn't come in real soon, I'm going to panic. I'm going to leave. And this is, you know, you can feel yourself working yourself up. That's the problem. So the doctor then walks in and I'm like, okay. Doctor then immediately like starts fiddling with a machine, but not in a confident way. Like when I work with OBS, which I've worked with a lot, or I try to put graphics up or something, like you can tell when I'm just setting stuff up and when something's not going right and I've kind of messed it up and I'm trying to fix it. And then he's asking Igor for help. And what does Igor do? He bumps into some more stuff because the dude is clumsy as hell. And I'm like, this is just the wrong guy for an eye clinic. Eyes are incredibly sensitive. This is not the kind of thing you want happening right before someone stabs you in the literal eye. Igor goes out after they fix this thing. And then the doctor has a very soothing voice. He's actually a very good doctor. They put in those clamps that keep your eyes open and a hugely bright light right in your eyes. You can't see anything. And it's like a... I keep mentioning the movie, but then every time I tell the story and then I forget the name of the movie. So they clamp your eyes open and you can't see anything. Now the doctor says, look up. I'm lying on my back and I look straight towards the ceiling, which was at that point straight forward out of my face. And the doctor goes, no, look up. And I'm like, well, this is not the time to argue, but I've actually had this argument with a coworker. Up is a function of gravity. So down is towards the center of the earth and up is out. When you're in space, there is no up because things do not fall. Because you fall down, therefore you rise up. So if you're lying on your back, up is still away from the ground. That is up. People don't think of it that way, but up is actually a function of gravity. If there's no gravity, there is no up. Because if up is towards the top of my head, then if I lie down, I should start sliding towards my feet because I would be falling down. So I look up straight at the ceiling, straight into that light. So I'm blind now. And then he goes, no, up. And he taps the top of my head. And I realize you don't mean up. You mean towards up my eye. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the phrase he could have used to make that happen more efficiently. Cause I don't, of course I think he's stupid, but he thinks I'm stupid. It's one of those situations. So look up towards the top of your head. That maybe would work. So I look up and then because of the anesthetic, I don't even feel it. Like I feel something kind of touch my eye. And that actually would have been the insert of the needle, and he does it real fast. I mean, this is, again, kudos to the doctor. He's very good. He's very fast. He's very efficient. And this took no time at all. He said, sorry, this might hurt. They always say that in Japanese before they give you a needle. It's this kind of standard thing. I actually think it makes it worse. They should just be like, boop. And then he squeezed it in. It was a steroid, pulls it out. Didn't even notice, really. I felt something touch my eye. I don't know if that was it going in or coming out. And then he goes, that's it. He takes the clamps off. And then I'm sort of blink a few times. If I'm being honest, physically, I basically felt nothing. But the adrenaline and the terror I felt was untouchable. So I go out into the waiting room because I have to pay for this experience. And I start sending my friends messages on my phone. And I'm like, I just got my eye stabbed. I just got a needle in my eye. This is like nightmare fuel. And I realize my hands are shaking. And it's because I'm coming down from the adrenaline for like 5 minutes straight. I'm just sitting there going, it was terrifying. That was last week. I've gone back again. He's giving me some oral steroids. It is slowly getting better. But basically, when I do these podcasts and stuff, I have notes. And basically, I try to hide the notes under the camera. So I'll stick it up. It's actually now right in front of my face, but it's below the camera. Now, if I hold it there, I'm incapable of reading it. And my writing is incredibly messy. So I can't read the writing. That's the problem. So I did Ninja News Japan this morning. I have my notes up and I'm going to have to look at it a little closer today. That is going to be just a problem for the next little while until I can see again. The thing is, again, I've worn glasses since I was 16. So my eyes are garbage anyways. At this point, if they want to put me up for experimental, let's replace your eyes with robots, I'm on board. I will absolutely replace my eye with a robot at this point. Oh, Clockwork Orange. Fuck. That's the movie. At the end of Clockwork Orange, they reprogram the guy and they block his eyes open like that and make him watch propaganda videos. That stuck. That image stuck with me, even though I saw that movie when I was like 5, 10 years old or something. Should not have been watching that movie when I was that young.
You just became Isaac from Dead Space.
That was one of my first mentions. I did the thing in real life that happened in Dead Space. That is actually was my first thought. Like, oh my God, I'm doing the Dead Space level. But in Dead Space, I think if I remember correctly, you're aiming it and then you have to push it down with the two joysticks. It's like a dual joystick thing. But I think the idea, the concept is that you're doing it to yourself, if I remember correctly. And then you have to like press a button to stab it in. And if you miss, you fail that level. But that's the only thing I remember from that game. So that was super impactful. Like if I'm being really honest, that's a bit I remember.
I hated that in Dead Space.
Oh, I think you were supposed to hate it in Dead Space, which actually means it was good. If we're being honest, if it was supposed to be gross and off-putting and terrible and you felt that way, it achieved its goal. Horror movies, if you walk out of the horror movie and feel, ah, that's actually, they've done a good job, which is, you know, counterintuitive. Because if you walk out like, I had a great time, that was really fun, that's not a good horror movie. Just letting everyone know that my eye's all messed up, I can't really see. If now, though, if I mess up something in a video game, I can actually claim it's because I can't see. And so you go, because I didn't see that side of the screen because, you know, nothing on this side works anymore. I'm going to play the intro song again. So I've done a lot of scary things in my life. Like, again, I fight people for fun. I've ridden motorcycles and had crashes. I've crashed a car. I've put myself in dangerous situations. I got in trouble with the Korean mafia a little bit when I was in Korea. All scary. Nothing compares to the mental terror you put yourself through when someone's like, I'm going to stick a needle in your eye now. Let's get to it. That's actually what it came down to. It wasn't a terrible, dangerous, awful thing, but the mental thing you do to yourself. So let me play the intro song again, and then I can edit this podcast much better.
Academy, shock my big chest, where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah.
I'm very excited to have my own theme song. Having your own theme song changes the feeling of your podcast if you go through the trouble of actually making a podcast. We're talking about TikTok. So the TikTok ban in America is kind of gone through. It's actually not finished.
Did you commission it?
Yes. There's a whole other story there. DX, man, you're just going to get all the stories out of me. I had a presentation to do at work and it was a very boring presentation. And my boss was like, you have to make this, get people excited about this thing that we're doing. And it's not exciting. And he's like, get people excited. I'm like, that's not going to happen. There's nothing I can do to get excited. So I was like, well, what can I do? And I go to ChatGPT and I put in all the criteria for a rap song. So I put in the criteria for this thing we're introducing. It's just a course. And then gave it criteria for the different elements of a rap song. And it produced one. I did a little editing and I went online to try to find someone who would do a beat and sing it for me. And you can find lots of people who do beats and lots of people who do songs. Will do like rap for you, but they won't do both. You can find on Fiverr, you'll find people who do beats. On Fiverr, you'll find people who will do a track, a rap for you, but they won't do both. So I ended up going to a different site. I think it was Upwork, and I found a guy's name who will do both. And so he's from Zimbabwe. His name's Stones Moyo. And I sent him a message. I was like, I want a song for this presentation. I made a music video for it. He will do both parts. So I was really excited. I got him to do the song. I put the song. I cut together a little video. And it was all like from free clips from websites, like copyright free stuff. And if you search in like urban dance, you get a very specific look. So I put all those together and I cut in some little joke bits. And then I played it. And people at the company loved it. I mean, that's what it came down to. And So then I was like, a couple months later, I was like, I've had this theme song for this podcast for a long time that doesn't fit the tone of the podcast, because it was like heavy, which I like a lot of heavy music, but when I'm sitting here talking, it's actually quite relaxed. So that quite relaxed atmosphere didn't come through in the music. So I was like, you know what, dude, I'll commission another song. I gave him the lyrics. So my friend wrote Enter the Mind of the Academy, because I have the Chunk My Beef Chest Academy of Martial Arts t-shirts. I wrote Drinking at Lunch Brings Verbal Skills Like a Sucker Punch. And then he said, Welcome to C. McBee. And that was it. And I gave him like a feeling, like an old Diggable Planet song. And like 2 weeks later, suddenly this song pops up and I got this new theme song for my podcast.
It's great lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was sort of a community effort, which actually makes it better as well. Because my friend wrote a line. A theme song can only be like 30 seconds long before it gets annoying. So yeah, I will just listen to it one more time so you can actually hear what he says. It's, again, he's from Zimbabwe, so his English is, I love, he doesn't say C. McBee like I do. He says C. McBee.
Academy, chop my big chest, where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMB. Yeah, yeah, CMB. CMB. CMB.
So yeah, enter the mind of the academy, where the best is philosophy. Yeah, no, I really like that. I really like that he doesn't sound like I would sound if I sang it, which in my opinion makes it better. But we're talking about TikTok today. I like TikTok. I'm an old dude, but I like TikTok. I use it a lot. I take clips from the podcast and put them there. They don't get any traction. That's fine. I don't care. I'm there to have a good time. And if one person comes from TikTok and watches some more stuff, that's great. For me, the most interesting elements of this is, what is actually the issue they're talking about? Because when you're talking about politicians, the things they're saying are never the actual issue at hand. So what is the actual issue at hand? I've done a couple of episodes of C. McBee now on Senate hearings, and the Senate hearing is never what they're talking about. Like they say, the last one was about child safety and social media. And almost every conversation they had with the CEOs of these really big tech companies had very little to do with child safety. They kind of grilled Zuckerberg on it, and Facebook. When they got to the president of TikTok, all they really talked about is whether or not he was Chinese or from China. That's now a very famous clip on the internet, because they ask him in about three or four different ways, are you Chinese? And he's like, no, I'm from Singapore. No, I'm from Singapore. I did military service for 2 years in Singapore. I am not Chinese. If China invaded Singapore, I would get called up to fight China. But you can see, what is him having his connection to China, how does that help or detract from child safety in the usage of TikTok? It doesn't actually mean anything. So this is one of the more interesting issues for me, is what they're talking about now is not the actual issue at hand. And to me, when I talk about America and when I think about America, the fundamental beliefs of America is a capitalist system. I'm Canadian. I'm actually from a socialist republic, which means social services are inherently a part of the political system where I come from. I live in Japan, which is not a republic as such. Japan is very socialist. It must be a socialist democracy. Regardless, social welfare is a big issue in Japan. They want social services. They want to take care of people. When I got my needle in my eye, the entire thing. So we're talking about drugs, examination, a needle in the eye. So all those procedures and stuff, I paid 1,600 yen, which is about $15, probably less now with the exchange rate. So we're talking about going to a doctor, like a visit, some actual treatments, all in the span of an hour, and I'm paying less than $20. And that's socialized healthcare. In America, they talk about capitalism, capitalism, capitalism. And I'm always interested in that the true reality of what happens in America is not really capitalism as they claim. So what they're talking about with TikTok is that this company is a national threat because the Chinese are collecting data, or they can collect data. Now, my issue with that version of the statement is every app we use collects data. Now, you could specify which kind, but at the end of the day, Google collects a ton of data that you don't want them to collect. Facebook collects a lot of information that you don't want them to collect. YouTube collects a lot of information that you don't want them to collect. It is ridiculous. Or there's the other side, that this bill, if it comes into effect, because they don't mention TikTok in the bill. TikTok is the reason they're putting it forward, but they don't mention TikTok by name. It just says apps. So you have two possibilities. One, they ban TikTok and they just stick to what they're saying. Or now they have the ability to ban and control social media in America. So if YouTube steps out of line, you're collecting too much data. That's the reason we use. Now we can shut down YouTube or ban YouTube. Now we can ban Facebook. Now we can do whatever we want to social media sites. The most interesting prospect here is that with Biden in control right now, if this law goes through, he could shut down Donald Trump's Truth Social because it's an adversary to the current government. And that's one of the lines they put in there. They want it to be an adversary to the government collecting data. So since Donald Trump is collecting data, because all apps do, and he's an adversary to the American government in its current state, Biden would then be free to ban Truth Social. I don't think they've thought that through, but that is actually one of the implications of this bill. And it goes back to sort of the Patriot Act, where these, like, if we think you're a terrorist, we can do whatever we want. And now we're just going to classify anyone we want to attack as a terrorist. That's the kind of logic that might be happening here. We'll use TikTok as the example. That's the terrorist that we're attacking. But then we can classify other things or other people as terrorists. So then we can do that. So now we can classify other apps as adversarial so that we can attack them in any way we want. They can make a blanket ban on all companies that are collecting data, and they can level that. They could do this. They could say companies are not allowed to collect data. This would trash Google. It would trash Facebook. But they can say, look, let's make it fair. Let's make it a level playing field. You're just not allowed to collect data anymore. Or we're going to specify what data you can collect. And the thing is, one of the things in the Senate hearings with the president of TikTok was, he was like, it's all voluntary. Like, you click and agree before you sign up to TikTok that we can collect this data. So why are you angry about the data you've agreed to let us collect, us collecting that? They're angry about it going back to China because they're not really sure what they can do with it, is I think actually the issue. So Trump came out recently. This is interesting, because he says he wants to stop the ban on TikTok. He says, I think it's because he hates China more than anything else at the moment, but he doesn't want them to ban TikTok because Facebook would then grow, and Facebook helped rig the previous election.
The data doesn't even go to China. The database is in America.
That, I don't know if that's true. I actually have a clip I need to find and I want to insert, and it's propaganda on TikTok's behest. They created a script and it has two creators reading the exact same script. It's very natural. I'll be able to find that because I know I shared it with my friends in Discord. So I'll actually throw that up on the screen. This is not a one-sided thing. Like, there's no good guy here. TikTok is not the good guy. The US government is not the good guy. TikTok's an abusive app, as is every other app. I mean, no joke. They all are exactly the same. But if you understand that, you know how to take care of yourself or teach your kids how to take care of themselves and stuff like that. But if you're going to put limits on one, you got to put limits on them all. That's just, I think, the easiest way to do things. Because again, it should just be fair competition. This was an interesting TikTok that came out because they're trying to defend TikTok. These are TikTok creators. And you would think, because of the very natural feeling they present, that this is just off the top of the head. This is off the dome. But how quickly this becomes a script is really interesting.
You recognize that if they can call TikTok a Chinese app, they can pretty much call any app Chinese. Because its parent company, ByteDance, isn't a Chinese company. No, they are incorporated in the Cayman Islands. TikTok is incorporated in Singapore. Their CEO is Singaporean. And when we look at the ownership of the company, 60% is owned by international investors. The vast majority of which are in America or in our allied nations. The majority of which are in America or in our allied nations. Again, the vast majority of which are not in China. And the other 20% is owned by the founders. And only one of which is actually Chinese. And the American user data is stored in
as a Chinese citizen.
Now,
and the
TikTok
American
does
user
have
data
a headquarters
stored in Austin,
in
Texas.
Mainland China,
now,
but
TikTok
not only
does
every
have a headquarters building
tech company
in mainland
on
China,
have a
but not only does every
China,
fucking
just
tech
like those
company on Earth
TikTok has a headquarters building.
Actually, it was The Daily Show that used to do this, or John Oliver, and they would take local news stations would usually be given a script of something to say to talk about an issue. And this is not an uncommon strategy. This is propaganda. So they want to explain to TikTok users. This is obviously from TikTok. This is a script they've written. I love that they dropped an F-bomb in there to make it seem more authentic and natural.
Makes you wonder.
Oh, no,
TikTok
no. It's not
that.
Wonder. TikTok actually, like 100%, pays these creators. They're popular creators. They gave them a script. They say, we'll give you this much money. Read the script. Make it as natural as possible. Those guys did a great job. They gave you the basic facts. They're like, oh, yeah, the servers are in Austin. It's owned by this many people. It's incorporated in the Cayman Islands. They're done an incredible amount of research. Like, if you think about what I'm talking today, I read about 15, 16 articles, and I'm going to give you a very shallow view of what this TikTok ban is and some of the implications. But there are people that, like, TikTok has an investment in this not going through. So if they can get the facts to the people who watch TikTok and they have them believe those facts, well, then now they have ammunition to go to the government and say, well, you know, it's not a Chinese company. So a bunch of Americans now go to their congresspeople and say, it's not a Chinese company. The servers are in Austin. Yeah, 100%. That was provided by TikTok to those creators so that they could read it and they just have a very natural flow. And maybe that's the kind of content they do already. But immediately I was suspicious of, why does that guy have so much information squished together that well? The thing I was wondering the most is, did they read it or memorize it? Because their pacing was pretty similar. Like, they had overlaps a couple times. That was pretty cool. But we're still talking about really the ban on the government side first. Trump said that he doesn't want TikTok banned because then people will go back to Facebook, and Facebook helped rig the last election. Now, I think Donald Trump, he might be a little out of touch. I think that's pretty fair to say. Because if people leave TikTok, it's mostly young people. The fact that I'm on there, I'm already one of the oldest people on TikTok probably. They're not going back to Facebook. They would go to another app. I actually think this, the worst case scenario is that TikTok dies, but then a new app takes its place that does almost the exact same thing. And that's where young people go. The interesting thing about Trump, though, in 2020, as president, Trump signed in an executive order for ByteDance to divest itself from TikTok, so essentially to sell TikTok.
At this point, the recording was actually interrupted, and I had to take care of a family emergency. So we're actually picking up on the next day, which is why it doesn't sort of link directly to what was said before.
So there's a couple other different views you can take of this. One of them is, what do the Chinese think? So the Chinese foreign ministry spokesman said, Washington resorts to political tools when U.S. businesses fail to compete. They're saying because TikTok has become so dominant and capitalism has failed that these Western capitalistic companies can't compete with TikTok, that the government now has to step in and shut down the competition, which is completely an anti-capitalistic idea. I find that one very interesting. I don't tend to take the Chinese Communist Party's opinions very seriously because they just tend to say things that are very pro-China. But of course, when they do take a shot at other countries, it's always very entertaining because they always just like lay into them really hard. It is interesting to look at how the votes were done because 15 Republicans voted against the ban. They said, look, we should absolutely warn people. We should tell people that this might be a data security issue. This might be China collecting your personal information. But if they know that and they still choose to use the app, that should be acceptable. And I actually kind of agree with these Republicans because that is capitalism. Give people all the information they need to make their own decision, but then you have to allow people to make their own decision. That's freedom. And that's, in America, part of freedom of speech. Like, you should be allowed to say these things. People are supposed to be able to make their own decisions. This does sort of imply that the bill isn't actually about TikTok, the company. It's about apps that can be banned if they're being labeled a security threat. So this means like any other app, as I was saying jokingly before, True Social, it's owned by an adversary to the current government. So it could be shut down if you wanted to like broaden these rules. Facebook had all that Russian influence during the elections. That could say it's being attacking America and they could shut down that down if they want. Elon Musk, when he took over Twitter, absolutely destroyed the security, basically fired everyone who had any sort of knowledge there. So he just ripped apart the security aspect of Twitter. At that point, it's no longer a secure website. It could be banned. So you can see, keeping the bill vague as to what it actually would define as a security threat means that you could then broaden it and attack any media outlet you want. But then we get to Congressman Mike Gallagher. And he said, TikTok is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. So I got that clip. So let's play that right now. So in this clip, he's trying to assure people that this isn't about just banning apps that they disagree with, that this is a very focused thing. But then we learn what it's actually focused on.
The only impacted sites are those associated with foreign adversary apps, such as TikTok.com. It can never be used to penalize individuals. The text explicitly prohibits that, and it cannot be used to censor speech. It takes no position at all on the content of speech, only foreign adversary control. Foreign adversary control of what is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. This is a common sense measure to protect our national security. I urge my colleagues to support this critical bipartisan legislation.
So what he's actually done in there, and I think by accident, is tell you what he's actually worried about. He's saying that this is about a foreign adversary. This is about the apps and security and stuff. It won't go under, won't be going after free speech. But then he immediately says, TikTok has become the primary news source for people under the age of 30. So people are getting their information from TikTok. They're not getting their information from the apps we influence. They're not getting their information from the apps we maybe have a certain amount of control over already. They're getting their information from this app that is controlled by a company that is from a different country. If I start an app in Belgium, which is not a foreign adversary, but then I start saying a lot of anti-American stuff, how quickly would they change the parameters that it's a negative influence? And so this is, I think, what it really comes down to. They have less influence and control over the news media. And as sort of traditional media like news shows and stuff become less popular with people under 30, I mean, most people I know under the age of 30 don't watch television at all. They will stream stuff. They will pick and choose what they watch. And when it comes to news, it is going to just get filtered into them through an app they watch, like TikTok. They're saying we have to take that news source away from them so we can put them back on the news that they like. I think the reality would be that they would just find a different news source that they also don't have control over, because that's going to be part of the appeal of this. And it's all about control. So we had the clip previously of the two guys reading the exact same script that was obviously provided to them by TikTok. We have the senator saying, like, we're losing control over the news, over what people actually take into their lives, how they get their information. We need to stop that. We did get to the last little bit. It was a Democrat congressman who got very famous on TikTok. He has 2 million followers, and he voted for the ban of TikTok. So basically, TikTok made him famous, put him into Congress, and then now he's in Congress and he votes to ban TikTok. He comes out and he says, like, oh, I'm so sorry. This isn't really what you think it is. He essentially said, I voted to ban TikTok because I didn't think it would go through.
I apologize. I did not handle this situation well from top to bottom, and that is why I have been completely roasted on this app over the last 48 hours, and I get it. If I were in your shoes, I would probably feel the same way. I would see someone who used this app to build a following and then appears to have voted against it, and I would be upset, and I would feel like I deserved more of an explanation. So here goes. I like this app. I've been able to reach a lot of people and hear directly from them, and it's been great. I'm also in Congress, and I've been a part of some briefings about this app that were genuinely alarming. When I was reading the bill, the part I agreed with was the part that tries to force a sale, because I figured this would just be a better app if we didn't have to worry about the stuff that comes with it being potentially controlled by an adversarial government. The part I didn't like was the part that threatens a ban. Half the country is on this app. It has become a force for good in the lives of millions of people. So I weighed those two things, and the reason I voted for it was because I genuinely believe the chance of a ban is practically zero for a lot of reasons, financial, political, geopolitical. I just don't think there's any real chance of a ban. I still believe that, but maybe I got that balance wrong. On the one hand, I have information about this app that isn't public. On the other, the language of the bill was going to upset millions of people. My thinking was I could reconcile those two things by just making a video that said, hey, here's the situation. And that was a total disaster. I really overestimated my ability to do that in a really hot moment when millions of people were laser focused on this. Some of you have said, I must have been bought by somebody. Well, that is exactly why I don't take any corporate PAC money. Not from TikTok, not from Meta, not from any corporation. That doesn't change the fact that I screwed this up. I did. I apologize, and I will keep you posted.
I don't know what he was actually thinking, but he absolutely was not thinking like, I'm going to do a protest vote. This is actually weirdly Brexit logic. So when Brexit went through, they interviewed a bunch of people who voted for Brexit who actually said like, oh, I voted for Brexit because I didn't think it would pass. And the interesting thing, it shows that votes actually matter. So you can't do protest votes. You have to vote with your own best interests at heart. Otherwise, you might end up actually getting what you voted for, even if it was a protest vote. There was a lot of people with Brexit who said like, oh, I didn't think it would go through, so I voted for it. And it was just to like show how angry I am. But now you're not part of the European Union anymore. Now you've actually gotten what you voted for. So how do you feel now? I have no idea how far this is going to go. It wouldn't surprise me either way. It wouldn't surprise me if this just died. It needs another vote, I think, in the Senate. And it wouldn't surprise me if it died right there. It wouldn't surprise me if this was considered unconstitutional in some way. I think divesting the TikTok from ByteDance isn't the worst thing ever, if I'm being honest, because I don't care about the company. I mean, I'm doing this topic because I'm interested in all these processes. I'm interested in the votes. I'm interested in how the companies and the government are fighting back against each other. I'm interested in what this is really about. And the core issue that has come up again and again is this is about control of the news and the news that young people take in. And TikTok is a very liberal website. It's a very liberal place where people express themselves. And so a lot of young people are finding their voice there. And I think that liberalness is what is actually scaring these Republican senators. The fact that this app is being provided to them from China just makes it that much worse. But clearly the things that they're saying it about, like every other Senate hearing I've dealt with on CMCB, it's not actually, the actual issue isn't what they're actually talking about. I don't have a big investment in TikTok. It's not a big part of my life. I don't really care for social media, if I'm being honest. So what happens isn't going to impact me in any great way, but I am interested to see the justifications and the lies and the back and forth and the propaganda and all this stuff. And then the thing is, if ByteDance divests itself of TikTok and it gets taken over by one of the Shark Tank guys or something, because those are the guys who are actually interested in it, I bet that would destroy the company. I bet TikTok would collapse, or the people who really love TikTok for what it actually is right now would leave for some other version of TikTok, would come up with a different company. We're going to offer you what TikTok used to be right out the gate. Here's your new app. And then we're already at a point where young people coming up right now, they don't want to use an app that is what older people use, even if it's like 5-10 years, they want their own app. And that's actually, to me, how social media is going. It's a generational thing. And the younger generation that's coming into their own right now and getting into social media, they don't want to use someone else's app. They want their own thing. It was actually my theory of every generation has their own, it's almost like yearly. There has to be like a summer love song. And you can like or appreciate or enjoy the love songs that came before, but it's not your love song. So you need that one summer, that one song, and that's your song that you associate. And that becomes you. It represents you as a person. It's the same thing with apps. It may be a 5-10 year period, but in that period is when that becomes your app, the app you associate yourself with. And that's what you grew up with. And that's where you came to maturity with. And that's where you learned a lot about the world from. And so I actually think TikTok only has so much life in it left anyways, because there's going to be something that comes up that replaces it fairly soon. These apps and stuff are getting so big. So we talked about Facebook. Facebook has been around forever and it's like, oh, it's not going to go anywhere, but it's just not as popular as it was. And young people now, they don't use it anymore. Instagram, I would say it's already on its sort of death knells. It's kind of going the same way. Twitter has gone through so much. I mean, I don't think anyone even considers it particularly relevant anymore. So we are waiting for the next app to come in and sort of take over this space. So I think the loss of TikTok, I think the loss of any one of these social media companies is not a big deal. They grow so fast and they become dominant so quickly. People think, oh, you'll never be able to crush these companies. But the natural process is speeding up and something's going to come up and it's going to be popular with young people. And then other people are going to get on it because that's where you have to be trendy. It's where you have to do to make your deals. It's where you have to go to be popular. And I'm going to miss it. But that's where things are going to happen in the future. And this cycle, it's going to continue. So this life cycle is interesting. But now with the government trying to interfere, trying to take control over it, I don't know if that's going to speed it up or actually make it hang around longer. Because there actually may be more resistance to it going away because people actually care about it and people love fighting back against the government. But we should all know there's really only one platform you should care about, and that is the Beef Nation. What up, Beef Nation? I am going to commit myself to trying to say that more often and sound more sincere when I say it so that sooner or later it actually just happens naturally where I just come on and go, hey, what up, Beef Nation? How my chunks doing?
Enter the mind of the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah.